always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
But yeah, what do you do with all this, Harrison? Like, I think LeBron and Rich are such close friends as human beings that I don't think he's going to outright tell Rich, dude, shut up on the record on ESPN.com.
No, definitely not.
But did you expect maybe a little bit more? Like, do you think this is, was this an adequate response, do you think, from LeBron?
Adequate is actually maybe the exact right way to describe it. Like, it wasn't strong. It wasn't, you know, like, it wasn't a denouncement or anything. Like, I didn't think he was going to denounce Rich Paul, but, like, you know, he probably could have been a little stronger, like, in his backing of Austin. But that said, I do think it was, like, an adequate response. Like, he did say, you know, we are different people, which is true. You know, and we can joke about the, like, I can't tell my agent what to do or whatever. There is a difference between your agent, like, having a podcast and, like, using the trade machine than being like, my agent initiated a trade demand without me, you know, yeah. But like, type of stuff, like, there are degrees to this stuff. And I do think like
that's ever happened before
on the podcast is not like operating as LeBron's agent. Like, yes, that is obviously what he is publicly most known as, but, you know,
like, but are you ever not also, LeBron's agent?
Well, he has a lot of clients, you know.
Are you ever not their client, like their agent?
No, I just mean, like, you know, again, I'm not trying to say that he should be doing this, but I also don't think that, like, LeBron is every single thing that Rich Paul says publicly. LeBron's like, hell yeah, I agree with that. Like, you and I are close friends, and, like, yeah. I don't agree with everything you say publicly. You know, it's like, I'm not going to go on the record to Dave McMenamin and be like, Anthony Irwin's a fucking idiot. Like, I do it on this podcast so that we'd get the clip.
Yeah, you don't have to do it to Dave. Dave knows you feel that way.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I disagree with the notion that, like, LeBron has to be held responsible for every single thing that Rich Paul says. But, like, and, like, I do think that we have seen over the years, LeBron's actions have shown that he trusts and values Austin. You know, regardless of, like, would he put him in a trade? But would he have put him in a trade package for Kyrie Irving, like, 3 years ago? Like, probably. But, you know, like, during that playoff run, I think Austin really secured LeBron's trust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I think that we've seen LeBron defer to Austin at the end of games. We've seen LeBron, like, play two-man game with Austin in a way that he wasn't with, like, Russell Westbrook even. And, you know, who was the guy he wanted to trade for. And so I think that, you know, LeBron's actions have shown that he does respect Austin and he does, like, back and appreciate Austin as a teammate. I would not want my agent going on the air and being like, hey, I think we should trade this teammate. But, you know, I think that he sort of backed him in the most, maybe the most diplomatic and adequate way that he could, without it being like a strong, like if I'm not Austin, I'm not like, hell yeah, I feel good after this. LeBron told the haters, like, he'll never trade. You know, he could have said, like, I never want the Lakers to trade Austin. I hope that Austin is a Laker for as long as I am, and if not longer, and finishes his career and plays wherever he wants for as long as he wants. You know, he could have gone stronger, but he also, like, he could have just no commented. And I think that he does deserve some level of credit for saying, you know, that's not me.
Yeah, I think the only change that I would have had in terms of, like, this response would have been a little bit stronger defense of Austin specifically, not necessarily a denouncement of Rich, but just like, look, man,
it would have
Rich
been
has
to be, like, denounced JJJ. It's like, look, if we're going to trade Austin, I want it. I don't want it to be for some foul prone anti rebound loser. You know,
I've knocked this dude out of the playoffs. What are we talking about?
Look, Dave, Austin's a 16-game player, and, you know, we've seen with JJJ throughout his career, he gets played off the floor, and usually through his own fouls, and does a 5-minute diatribe just taking apart Jaren Jackson Jr. He's like, you know, I'm not against trading Austin. It's just like, we got to get something better, you know.
But yeah, I think the only thing that I would have maybe looked for a little bit more of would be, you know, kind of a stronger backing of Austin specifically, just like, look, Rich views basketball one way, even if he said like, yeah, we've talked about, because he has, like, they, I guarantee you, they have had debates on whether or not the Lakers should trade Austin Reeves. That's what friends do, and agents and clients do.
Well, especially agents to stars. Like, I imagine, like, Jake LaRavia and his agents are not debating which Lakers should be traded or something. But, like, if you're the star and sort of, like, you know, you have a vote in the front. Like, I'm sure Luka and his agent have talked about, should we what do you think about trading Austin?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Well, I would even say, I bet Jake. Guaranteed they have talked about it. They never admit to it, but they've talked about it.
Ironically, it's the same agents that, you know, we're talking about here with Reggie and Aaron, but like, I look like these guys, like they're all basketball nuts. They all have basketball takes. If you think you and I have takes on this stuff, like all of these guys, it's just, you go into these locker rooms and they're all giving their thoughts on whoever is doing what that night across the association, you know?
Except for Luka, who doesn't watch League Pass.
Yeah, right. But like, To me, the only thing that I would have maybe tweaked here would have been LeBron saying, like, look, I like you're saying, Harrison, like, I how many players have I trusted down the stretches of games in the way that I have given that trust to Austin over the years?
Yeah, it's like it's Dwayne Wade, Kyrie, Austin. That's it. Yeah, that's the list.
That's it. That's the whole group. You know, and
Mo Williams, maybe at points when people forget prime Mo Williams like that.
Yeah.
That,
and now Luka, right? Like now Luka.
Yeah. Now Luka, obviously Luka. Yes.
but now it's like, you know, and so like it, and he kind of mentioned something like that and been a little bit stronger in his defense of Austin. I would have probably, you know, preferred that. But again, he's going to be careful here because this is probably his best friend. Right. And Rich Paul, and somebody that he
among his probably five
ready to level up. Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Yeah, like somebody who he has built his entire career with, and somebody that, you know, at one point in their lives, they were charting out this course that they eventually went on. They have gone from nothing to everything together, right? Like, he's not going
to... Somebody who he trusted to represent his son.
I'm going to be realistic here and say that, like, I understand that this is a lot more complicated, but in part because of that, though, like, that's where I think I'm the most kind of disappointed in Rich, is all the stuff that we just said about LeBron. LeBron gave you everything. Like LeBron, like if LeBron isn't the incredible basketball player that he became, put in all that work to become the top two player of all time, nobody asks for your thoughts on a podcast. You know, and as such, I think he needs to respect the impact that has on LeBron a little bit more, or on all of his clients a little bit more. That's the responsibility as an agent, that you eventually recognize, hey, these guys give you 15% of their earnings, and that's a lot of bleeping earnings. And as such, one of the responsibilities is, I'm not going to go out there and say things publicly that make their lives more difficult. It's the whole, like, you know, it was the Diddy and Suge Knight debate, right? Suge Knight going out there on the stage and being like, if you want an EP who's dancing in the back of all of your music videos, go ahead, sign up for that. I just get my shit done. And now both of them, turns out, weren't the best in those regards either.
I was going to say, not the analogy I was going to make today.
But that's where, you know, and I think that's why Reggie said something to Rich, and it's this understanding of, like, there's a way that we do business in this. You know, there are certain, you know, kind of does Reggie think that at no point ever LeBron had a conversation with the Lakers about trading Austin potentially? Obviously not. Austin at one point was a role player. LeBron was the star of a team. That's how those conversations go. But when you have an agent crossing that line and having all of us talk about it to the extent that we have over the last couple of days, that's where Reggie's like, nope, that's the line crossing there.
It's on your Ringer podcast on Netflix is different than like, hey, you know, he sort of like anonymously said, like, you know,
yeah.
he tried to trial balloon this through like an anonymous report, you know, or something like that. It's a little different.
Right. Where I'm kind of curious about is like starting a podcast and like a lot of the stuff that you're hearing as far as the way that he's moving behind the scenes with Anthony Davis, he kind of smells a little of desperation. And we're in this fascinating transition period where the league has basically told LeBron, hey, man, we're moving on. You know, the Lakers just this last summer didn't even approach the negotiating table with LeBron.
The fan vote.
Look, I'm not going to ignore that. I can't ignore it.
I know. I'm saying it's really loud. To your point, like people are moving past LeBron.
And Rich Paul and Clutch as an agency has moved 4 years in a way that they could because LeBron was the biggest, baddest star in the NBA. And the entire league was afraid to piss off LeBron because you just never knew, was he going to take his talents to your city at some point?
He could have been now, a Hornet, you know, you never know.
Yeah. The Hornets are retiring Del Demps jersey, right? That is such an attempt at like, Steph, Del Curry, please retire here.
Del Curry, not Del Demps.
Oh yeah. Very different people. Not to Magic Johnson, but very actually different people.
Magic still does not know the difference, or he just hopes that when he hits Dell in his contact list that it's the right one, you know.
I have a high school buddy of mine named Raj, and on at least a couple occasions I have sent him a text that was meant to our Raj. I'm the worst at that shit. Like, I'm just so bad at this. But anyway, I think what I'm really kind of curious about here moving forward in advancing this story a little bit is Clutch kind of seeing a league that has put up with some of this stuff for 20 plus years, or, you know, however long Clutch has been an agency. Are they seeing a league that is now like, no, you know what? Like the Dallas Mavericks are saying, no, we're not going to extend Anthony Davis and we're not going to so blindly trade him to whatever city you think might give him that extension. Now, LeBron, like we would obviously really like it if you retired a Laker. And every time we're asked about it, we're going to give some kind of politically correct answer about you retiring a Laker. But at the end of the day, we are going to service what is best for the Luka era now. And I do kind of wonder if this behavior from Rich Paul is like the last vestiges of like, I got to, there's still a few boxes that need to be checked before we move into this next era of our agency where you go from repping LeBron bleeping James to Tyrese Maxey, who's a good player, but he's not going to move with the same kind of weight behind him. Am I overthinking this or do you think this is just a decision to do a podcast?
You know, no, I mean, I don't think that it's just a decision to do a podcast because when your primary income is being an agent, there's always bigger calculations going on. I don't think that Rich Paul just decided like, you know, I think I see podcast as the revenue moving forward for me. That's going to be my big
hit. I can tell you that just based on like my understanding of the industry.
Look, I'm going to be honest. He makes a lot more than both of us probably still, but it's not the majority of his income. I will say that pretty comfortably. So I think that there's always going to be a question of motivation of like, why do this? And I think your theory could have some validity. Like, I don't think it's crazy, but I also think that it's more, you know, a couple episodes ago, we were talking about just like, why does this podcast exist? Who is it for? All of that stuff. And I think I still go back to my theory of like, this is, you know, love him or hate him, Rich has changed the way that agencies and reporters and the media like teams do business around the NBA. Like, he has been a trendsetter on some of these things for good and for bad. And I think that I still, my theory on this is still that this is his latest attempt at pushing, like, I can get whatever discussions I want started directly. I don't need to launder it through Shams. I don't need to launder it through Woj or whoever. Mm-hmm. Like, I am just going to go on a podcast and
you saw that
I'm
work for LeBron out there, right? Like,
and give myself plausible deniability, be like, hey, I'm just speaking as a sports analyst, but also like, I'm getting you to talk about things that I want you to talk about. And now the Anthony Irwin podcast is discussing, you know, like me and my comments and my podcast and these possibilities that I want. And even though he's pushing back on it, a lot of people in his comments are like, hell yeah, Rich has a point because he's setting a narrative. Yeah. And yeah, I do think that there's an element of that to it.
All right. This is the tinfoil theory that I'm throwing at you. You can choose to sidestep the grenade if you want.
Is this the one where you're clearing me off screen?
No. Mm-hmm. You gotta be on screen to catch the grenade.
Okay, cool.
This isn't like an attempt to get LeBron traded or bought out, is it?
I doubt it, because it's like, where is he going?
I mean, to the point we just made a second ago, right? Like, the league has kind of moved on. This seems so desperate
for LeBron on this contract. And again, he has a no trade clause. Like, he could just say no, and maybe he could, but what destination that he wants to go to is trading for him and can trade for him at midseason? Like, I just don't see that. And, you know, maybe it, like, the buyout thing, maybe, but again, like, does he want to, you know, that to be on his like MJ never got bought out. Like, is he miserable enough that he wants that on his legacy? Like, I kind of doubt it. You know,
yeah. I don't think it is either, but I also like,
where is he going at midseason that he wants to go, you know?
And by he, I mean, Rich has to know the headache that this is creating.
Of course. Yeah. He's not stupid.
Yeah. But like, that's the thing though, is that like, if I know he's not,
but
stupid.
Is there some larger goal at play here where he is, you know, he is trying to gin up the sentiment, you know, is he test ballooning the, you know, hey, I want to get Lakers fans thinking about this so that they can argue to the front office that they should do this and go all in around JJJ and give LeBron, because I know they're not trading Luka. I know I can't get him up out of here. And like, I know that, you know, like, Austin is the most valuable trade chip the Lakers have. And so if I can get fans to rally to put him on the table, then can I get an all-in move and LeBron can have his fairy tale ending?
Yeah, I don't know.
Even if it creates some awkwardness in the meantime, if Austin gets traded, who cares?
Yeah. All right, really quickly before we get you out of here. Oh, we do have a starred comment here, so that means I get to play this bad boy. Fuck Austin! Taman Singh Humultani? That's a lot. I'm sorry, man. I just butchered your name. Can the Lakers make a trade for Peyton Watson because Denver is going to lose him in free agency, and make trades for AO and Bay for Maxi and a pick swap? All right. So for the first one, I asked around on that front, and Denver is not just going to, for one thing, they are not going to trade Peyton Watson outright, and they for damn sure aren't going to trade Peyton Watson to the Lakers. Like, he's specifically,
I did last week, there was somebody who was not a super commenter bringing up this possibility, and you know, they were saying like, can you guys argue for Rich to do the Lakers favor? Number one, after this podcast, I don't think Rich wants to do Anthony and I personally favors, but I also don't think that the way that he is moving, I don't imagine that he's like, I want to steer Peyton Watson to the Lakers because I have a great relationship with them right now.
It would be funny if this became like an outright grudge between, because we have seen some teams just not deal with certain agents across all of sports, right? So I guess that could happen. And then as far as like AU and Bay for Maxi and Gabe in a pick swap, I don't think you need that much money for or Mac. I think you would only need one of those expiring contracts. You would probably need more than a pick swap to get both Dosunmu and Sadiq Bey. But yeah, those are the kinds of moves that the Lakers are probably thinking about making.
And something interesting to monitor this summer with Denver that actually my guy Trill Bro Dude, I'm going on the Uniball podcast later today to talk trade stuff with him. But he has been all over that. It's like Denver is just historically like has never shown a willingness to spend this much money. Like somebody is going to be the last person standing when the musical chairs roll around and the Kroenkes decide who they're willing to pay and who they're not. And like, there's a possibility that the Lakers, you know, that you're talking about, like, you know, this is one of the things that you've been sort of talking about. It's use the cap space to absorb a contract of a useful player that a team is trying to get off of so that they can pay someone else. Like, can the Lakers get Cam Johnson basically for free this summer?
Yeah. Yeah, I asked about that basically. It was like, you know, would the Nuggets position themselves now by trading, you know, one of your contracts for expirings, right? Cam for expirings. Like one thing I was
they probably won't do it at the deadline, but would they do it this summer? Like they're gonna do something financially to get away from this because there's no way they're gonna be a second apron team.
Yeah. Or they should be. Like this is the annoying thing. But
we know they're not going to.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been a second apron team under the old CBA where the penalty was just money. They're certainly not going to do it when there's team building penalties that they can get the fans on their side and be like, no, we definitely shouldn't pay to keep this team together. Look at all the draft pick penalties and whatever. I don't know.
Remember last summer, like all the hysteria that was created because their owner was like, if we go into the second apron, then we might have to trade Jokic. And it was like,
it's such a weird thing to just volunteer on the record, you know, like
if you basically assimilate, like, or if you basically assign the possibility of like, if we go here,
like, are these guys, like, how much money do these guys actually have? You know, like, are they that cash strapped that they have to sell off Jokic if they have like a second apron penalty?
If those are like of similar serious consequences to you, then you probably shouldn't be an owner of an NBA team.
probably not.
Siskel 2831, our simplified blueprint athletic/defensive center and wing combo to go with our trio, in my opinion, of two explosive scorers and shooters and a reliable bench. Agree. So do I agree with that being the blueprint? Yeah. Like I want, ideally, if you're going to build a team around Luka and Austin, which, by the way, Domin and I recorded a kind of an interesting podcast for Offside, where it's like a series of clips turned into like a podcast that we recorded for the sake of turning into clips. Really kind of a cool concept. Keep an eye out for that on my socials and on Offside as the app. But like one of the topics that we kind of talked about is like building a team around Austin and Luka. And it's just like high energy dudes who can, you know, who understand defensive assignments and can shoot. Just give me three of those players, you know, over the next couple of years. And then like, you know, guys to varying degrees, you know, combinations of those. They just need to
target all the kinds of guys that Rob Pelinka doesn't value, you know?
Shit.
I think they can do it.
What if we score 200 points a game?
Yeah. And JJ is like, well, our expected assists will be, you know.
Yeah. And look, like I keep on getting this whole like, you know, Austin isn't him. And you go back all through the
it doesn't matter if he is him or not. It's just it's a like, value proposition.
Here. We can't know
who's next up on the overpaid contracts teams are trying to foist onto somebody else. Like after, you know, the Ja, LaMelo, Trey stuff, like AD stuff winds down, it's JJJ.
Well, like, all right. People keep on talking about how Austin, you know, shits the bed in the playoffs. The times he's been in the playoffs, his backcourt mate has been D'Angelo Russell or a broken down or sick Luka Doncic. Right. And so like, I don't know. I would maybe factor that into whether or not Austin's
first two playoff runs were great.
Yeah. And he, like, it's just like You look at his playoff numbers, they're all.
Did he get his ass kicked by Denver in the Western Conference Finals? Yeah, you know who else did? The entire Lakers team.
Yeah, the entire league did. Denver won the championship that year. You know, so like maybe like I'm not even saying that I definitely think Austin is 100% a starting caliber point guard or guard on a championship team. I don't know, but I'm also not going to decide that right now when, you know, the times that I've seen him in the playoffs have been with seriously flawed rosters around him. All I'm saying is I would like to see him, if the Lakers put together a roster of the types of athletes and shooting and defenders that you need to, with Austin and Luka as like the centerpieces of that roster moving forward. If they do that and Austin struggles again, then okay, fine. You trade him. There's going to be some other team that's going to be interested in Austin Reeves putting up numbers for them. I'm not interested in making that kind of concrete statement right now. And I for damn sure haven't been interested in doing that over the last few years as Rich Paul has been behind the scenes while Austin has been
making, not interested like, in trading him for a Steven Adams merchant.
Right. Like that's all I'm saying. But all right. We got one more start comment here from Ryan Lucas, who writes, I'm like right up against when I have to pick up Avery from school. Clutch doesn't want to trade request on Bron's resume, wants the Lakers to blink on separation so they can say, see, they didn't want him here. That's their choices. I think there's probably something to that. Like I
think there was more something to that over the offseason, though. I don't think that that's like a midseason thing.
I don't know that I don't think, like, I think there are probably some people in, like, Clutch circles who probably still feel that way. But to your point, Harrison, I still think that they are probably pretty realistic and clear eyed about the whole thing. Like Cleveland doesn't have the, like Cleveland would have to shed a ton of salary and then also give up stuff for LeBron. I definitely don't think LeBron wants to be a buyout minimum. Like he doesn't win a championship, doesn't want to win a championship.
Yeah.
As a buyout minimum guy somewhere, like I don't see that as being a part of his future. So like, I think you have the situation here where both sides are staying together for the extent that they have to. And you see this at the end of all relationships, both sides make decisions that they maybe regret a little bit and wish the other side didn't make. And, you know, by the time it's all said and done, you look back on it and you hope that the time together was good enough to make up for some of the ugly parts at the end of it. And I think that's, we're just at some of the ugly parts at the end of it. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Thank you very much, Harrison, for hopping on. Anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
No, I just want to respond to one of the commenters. JJ Hegseth earlier up asked for Harrison twerking, and I'm going to need like at least a $50 super chat for that. And Anthony's going to have to like say that it's going all to me. So I'm just saying, like, I can be bought, but you know, you're going to have to pay up.
The thing is, though, like, I would see that and I would need the $50 for the therapy to hopefully remove that from my memory.
Well, you could close your eyes.
No, but I would know that it's happening. So, you know. All right. Lakers Lounge poll. Who's a better twerker, Harrison or me?
You have the bigger ass. Like, I think you'd be better at it. You're lower to the ground. Like, you know, I'm not saying I'd be good at it. I'm just saying, like, I will do it for money.
I'm not very good at twerking. I would probably get better, you know,
I'll, like, reporting watch a YouTube tutorial. If you guys want to pay up.
I would probably like get more stories broken if I was better at twerking, but you know, you can't all walk.
You have too many opinions.
All right, everybody. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.